You know, God once shared with me that his most precious possession is the heart. That everything he's ever created, everything he's ever made, his most precious treasure is the hearts of his people. That any time the Lord finds a heart that sincerely loves him in sincerity, he treasures that heart. He cherishes that heart. And he holds it in a very sacred place. And that place is right next to his heart. And the Lord is so careful to invest into our hearts. You see, what you treasure is what you invest in. What you cherish is what you invest in. If you love your children, you invest in the lives of your children. And because we're the children of God, the Lord is very careful and the Lord is very faithful just to invest into our hearts. And, you know, with that thought in mind, I want you to look with me at 2 Chronicles chapter 32. I want to look at verse 27 and 28. Verse 27 says, "And Hezekiah had very great riches and honor, and he made for himself treasuries for silver, for gold, for precious stones, for spices, for shields, and all kinds of costly vessels. Storehouses also for the yield of grain, wine, and oil." And I really want to emphasize verse 28. Storehouses also for the yield of grain, wine, and oil. You know, in the Old Testament, you see it over and over again. You see that wise kings, they were very careful about raising up store cities and equipped with storehouses. And they were very careful, kings like Asa and Uzziah and Hezekiah. You see that they were very careful to raise up these store cities and to keep these store cities and storehouses full of grain. Because they understood that when meager times would come and scanty times would come, the people would need provision. And so in their wisdom, they were very careful to invest in these storehouses and keep these storehouses full. And as I was meditating upon storehouses, I sensed the Lord say to me, "One of my most precious storehouses is the hearts of my people. Their hearts are precious storehouses that I'm careful and faithful to invest in." Beloved, it's out of our hearts that we give out. It's out of our hearts that we pour out. You know, one of the truths that the Lord keeps putting it before my heart, I'm just in a season where he keeps putting this truth before my heart over and over and over again, is that we are living in a world that's hungry for grace. And the Lord, he's always encouraging my heart, "Tim, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by this dark, God-defiant, rebellious generation that you're living in." Because in the midst of all that darkness and God defiance, there are a people who's hungry for grace. If they could just taste the grace of God, they would hunger for it. Because God is working. He's always diligently working in the earth. You know, some years ago I was in an apple orchard and I was looking for apples and there was no apples on the trees. All there was leaves on the trees. And I was just walking away in disappointment. And the Lord spoke very clearly to my heart and he asked me a question. He said, "Tim, how do lost people, how do people who have absolutely no idea who God is, who absolutely have no idea what the heart of God is, how do they taste and see that God is good? How do they taste and see that God is good?" And the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, "By tasting the fruit that's in your life. When they taste the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the faith, meekness, the temperance, by tasting the fruit that's in your life, something just rises up in their heart and says, God is good." That when they taste the fruit that's in your life, there's a desire to know the source of that fruit, and the source of that fruit is God. And I know this may sound a little funny, but it's something that the Lord spoke to me, and it's simply this, that wherever he go, he wants his people to be walking fruit baskets. Wherever he plants us, he wants us to be walking fruit baskets so people can just take a bite of the fruit and something rise up in their heart and say, God is good. God is good. Beloved, again, our hearts are the storehouses of his grace. And I really love that. When the Lord put that in my heart, I really love that term. Our hearts are the storehouses of his grace. And he's continually investing into these storehouses of grace that we have something to give. Something with life, something with power, something with freedom, something with wholeness. He's continually investing into these storehouses. Now I want you to look with me at 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 28 again. Verse 28 says, storehouses also for the yield of grain, wine, and oil. So Hezekiah was careful to fill his storehouses with grain and wine and oil. And it greatly speaks of the spiritual grain and the spiritual wine and the spiritual oil that God is so careful to invest into the storehouses of our hearts. So first of all, Hezekiah invested grain into his storehouses, and in the storehouses of our heart, the spiritual grain is the Word of God. The spiritual grain is the bread of life, the Word of God. Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word to him who is weary. Matthew 12:34 says, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. And I love that scripture. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. And I always like to use that verse whenever I'm teaching pastoral ministry or teaching homiletics. Again, it says, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. That God doesn't make sermons. He makes hearts. That the making of the sermon is the making of the heart. And it doesn't just apply for pastors and preachers. Everything as His people, everything from, that we share from His Word and minister from His Word, it comes from the deep inner working of God within our life. You know, God, as it says in Psalm 105, He takes His Word and He refines us by His Word. Amen. And you know, God gave Joseph a promise, and Joseph had to wait on that promise for a long time. And here's simply my point. Whenever you are in a place where you're having to wait on a promise from God, that promise is refining you. We may not realize how it works, but that's what's happening. When you're having to wait on a word from God, and sometimes you have to wait in a long place, what's happening is that word, that promise, is actually refining you. Amen. Secondly, Hezekiah invested wine into his storehouses. And in the storehouse of our hearts, the spiritual wine is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know, the New Testament describes the Holy Spirit like new wine. And talking about the indwelling life of the Spirit, Jesus said in Matthew 9:17, He said, neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst and the wine is spilled and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins so that both are preserved. And beloved, God desires that the new wine of His Spirit can flow from our lives, can thrive and live and flow from our lives. And it's very interesting in Jesus' day how wine was made. Just a very interesting study. You know, the women and the children would bring big clumps of grapes, and they would bring it to what is called a wine vat. And a wine vat is simply a great big tub. And they would pour the grapes in the tub, and then a man who was called a treader of grapes, he would walk upon the grapes and he would crush the grapes to get the juice out. But the interesting thing is that while he was walking on the grapes, there was a wooden beam he would hold on to, so he wasn't putting all of his weight upon the grapes, because if he put all of his weight upon the grapes, it would not only crush the grapes, but it would crush the seed, and the seed would get into the juice and it would make it a very bitter juice. And the lesson that we learn from that is, you know, if God is going to cultivate this life of the Holy Spirit in our lives, there are times that He's going to have to crush us. And there are times He's going to have to really lay the cross to our life. And I'm telling you, when the Lord lays the cross to your life and He begins to deal with that self-life, I'm telling you, sometimes it can be a very painful experience. It can just be painful. But here's what we have to understand. God will never tread so heavily upon our hearts that He crushes our spirit. Because when He crushes your spirit, then all you have is a bitter spirit, and there's nothing sweet that comes out there. Amen. So God deals with us in great gentleness. And please allow me to say it again, because it's just a verse that lives in my heart. You know, Psalm 18 says, it's the gentleness of God that make men great. That God's power to make mighty men and women of God is in His gentleness. You know, when I was 18 years old, I joined the army. And from the moment I stepped off the bus in the boot camp, there was a drill sergeant constantly yelling in my face. I mean, I couldn't do nothing without a drill sergeant yelling in my face. And it went on for 8 weeks. But somewhere during those 8 weeks, I got an understanding that drill sergeants don't yell and scream at you all the time just because they like terrorizing green recruits. No, they actually have a reason for it. But as I think about it now, I'm just, It's just funny how God's ways are not man's ways. You know, when it comes to making great men and women of battle, God doesn't use screaming drill sergeants. It's His gentleness. His gentleness is what makes great men and women of God. And I always say this to my students. I always say, you can measure the work of grace in somebody's life by gentleness. You can always measure the work of grace in someone's life by gentleness, because grace makes gentle people. But I also like to tell them this, but never make the mistake. Never mistake gentleness for weakness. Because gentleness is a tremendous power when it's the gentleness of God. Because in that gentleness, there is a power to make great men and women of battle. The gentleness of God make people great. Amen. And thirdly, Hezekiah invested oil into his storehouses. And in the storehouse of our hearts, the spiritual oil is the joy of the Lord. Isaiah 61:3 says, He has given me the oil of joy for the spirit of heaviness. Hebrews 1:9, God has anointed me with the oil of gladness. And beloved, this can go hand in hand with the wine of the Spirit. That when it's God who is actually crushing you, though it's not pleasant at the time, it only produces a deeper joy within our lives. You know, I found out when it's actually the hand of the Lord leading you into places of brokenness, and it's the hand of the Lord placing those, that cross upon areas of your life where you just need to be gently broken. And when you come out on the other side, there's just a deeper joy in the Lord that you have in the Lord. And I think with all my heart, I think when it comes to representing God, I think people need to see the joy of the Lord in our life. I really do. Because I think the joy of the Lord really reveals and reflects the heart of God. You know, Luke 15:10 says, all the angels of heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents. Luke 15, Jesus telling the parable of the prodigal father. The prodigal's father says, bring the fatted calf and let's eat and celebrate. He then goes on to say, the writer goes on to say, and when the older son drew near the house, he heard music and he heard dancing. And beloved, I truly believe that if people are going to experience God's heart, they have to see His joy in our lives. They have to see His joy in our lives. So in other words, don't be surprised when God puts you in the wine vat. Don't be surprised when He puts you in that heavenly tub and He begins to walk and He begins to crush. You know, even though it's not pleasant at the time, I'm telling you, after the grapes have been crushed, there is just a deeper in the joy of the Lord that lives in the heart. I believe that with all my heart. Beloved, when you see someone truly filled with the joy of the Lord, ask them to share their story. There will be painful times. There will be times of struggle. There will be times of confusion. But yet through it all, God was investing into their lives, and a deep inner joy of the Lord came out of all of it. Amen. So beloved, because God treasures our heart, these are three treasures He is so careful and faithful to cultivate into the storehouses of our heart. His word, His anointing, and the joy of the Lord. Beloved, understand that as God's people, He desires that we minister from a heart like His. That's becoming more and more real to me. That God desires that His people just minister out of their hearts. What God is doing in the heart. What God is speaking in the heart. You know, when God found a true shepherd and king for His people, He said about David, he's a man after my own heart. When talking about shepherds for His people, He said, I will give you pastors after my own heart. Whatever the calling is upon our life, God desires that we pour out from our heart. He desires that we minister from our heart. You know, Jesus ministered out of His heart. Mark 1:40, and a leper came to Him, imploring Him and kneeling to Him. If you will, He said, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus moved with compassion, stretched forth His hand and touched him and said, I will be clean. Beloved, what makes our ministry and calling so impactful, whatever that calling is that we're ministering from a heart like God. We're pouring out from a heart like God. And so God's going to be very careful to invest in these storehouses of grace. And just for a moment, I want to speak to people in places of leadership. I want to speak to leaders. Something about the heart God has been challenging me with. I want you to go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel chapter 14. Jonathan and his armor bearer are hiding from the enemy. They're outnumbered. But suddenly God begins to stir something in his heart, stir something in Jonathan's heart to rise up and go to battle. And look with me at verse 6 and 7. Jonathan said to the young man who carried his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or few. Now capture what the armor bearer said." And his armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Do as you wish. Behold, I am with you according to all that is in your heart." And I want to emphasize that. He looked at Jonathan and he said, "I want you to do all that's in your heart. Whatever's in your heart, I'm going to follow you. Even if it means placing my neck on the line, my life on the line, what's in your heart, I'm going to follow." And this is what the Lord began to challenge me with. He said, "Tim, people follow what is in your heart. It's what is in your heart that people give themselves to follow." Tim, here's what he's been challenging me with. He said, "Tim, people need to see what's in your heart. They need to see what's in your heart." And God has been challenging me, "Tim, lead from your heart. Tim, speak from your heart. Trust the work that I've done in your heart and lead from your heart. Speak from your heart. Because people need to see, they need to hear what is in your heart if you're going to be a leader." And I have to be honest with you, that was a little frightening to me when God began to speak that to me. Because how many of you know when you begin to lead from your heart and speak from your heart, sometimes you can be so, you know, easily misunderstood. How many of you know that? And I have to be honest with you, communication is not my great strong point. Just not my gifting. You know, there are times I'll be preaching or I'll be teaching and I'll say something and back of my mind I'm going, "Oh, that just did not come out like I meant it to come out." Or there'll be some times I'll say, "Oh man, I wish I would have never said that." But every time I do that, God immediately comes to my heart and he says, "Tim, you say a lot more things right than you do wrong. Give yourself a break. You know, you say a lot more things right than you say wrong. So would you just relax and give yourself a break?" And I just want to tell you, listen, as leaders, we're going to be fallible. We're going to make mistakes. But ultimately, we just have to trust the work that God has done in our heart. And we have to lead from the heart. And we have to speak from the heart. Because it's really what is in your heart that people give themselves to follow. You know, the Bible says, Proverbs, "A prince without a people is not a prince. And a leader without people is not a leader." God will lead somebody. And the power to have people to commit to the vision God is putting in your life is you got to let them see what's in your heart. Be a vulnerable place. But we got to trust what God is doing in our life. Amen. Now, we can't talk about storehouses without talking about Joseph. And I'm going into my conclusion now, but you can't talk about storehouses without talking about Joseph. You just can't. I don't know how you could. So, real quick, go with me to Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. Look with me at verse 55. It says, "When all the land of Egypt was famished, people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, 'Go to Joseph. What he says to you, do.' So when the famine had spread all over the land, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. But not just in Egypt. Moreover, all the earth came to Egypt to Joseph to buy grain, because the famine was severe over all of Egypt." So we see that God gave Joseph storehouses in this time of horrendous famine. And these storehouses are both of grain and grace. That these are storehouses of grace through Joseph's life. And out of these storehouses, God is actually pouring out his grace into the world. And what I want us to take note of is that God filled Joseph's storehouse with abundance. I mean, his storehouses were filled. And again, it reminds me of that verse that says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I really want to emphasize those words, out of the abundance of the heart. That, beloved, God wants to fill the storehouses of our heart with abundance so we can open our hearts wide to a famished world, and we can minister and we can speak and we can serve out of an abundant grace in God. He really wants to invest an abundance into our life. You know, in a time of prayer and reflecting on my years here at Summit, you know, I've been teaching about 18 years now at Summit, and just in a time of just reflecting on those years, you know, the Lord really began to speak to my heart just about his faithfulness. He said, Tim, over the years, have I not enriched your heart with an abundance? Year after year, I set hungry students before you, and year after year, out of the storehouse of your heart, you bring forth both old and new things. With the old revelation, I always open more to you and I take you into a deeper understanding. And the new revelation is always like warm, fresh bread. And every year when you get up and teach, I'm setting an abundant storehouse that I'm continually investing in. Beloved, I can honestly say that God has been faithful to keep my storehouse full. It's been on my knees. You know, years ago when I was pastoring, there was a time when I was teaching like 8-9 times a week, Tuesday night Bible study, a sermon on Sunday morning, a short word on Sunday night, and there was just a time that I fell before the Lord and I said, God, where is all this revelation going to come from? I can't afford to dry up. 8-9 classes a week, Tuesday night Bible study, I can't afford to dry up. And the Lord gave me Jeremiah 33:3, which says, call upon me, and I'll show you things that you don't know. And the Lord said, Tim, if you live on your knees calling upon me, you'll never lack a word. You'll never lack something to say. I'll always have something for my word to show you. And I can say God has been faithful to keep my storehouse full. And I'm very grateful for that. And my point is, God wants to fill all of our storehouses with an abundance so we can open our hearts wide and pour out. God has really been speaking to me about the days that we're living in. He always keeps that before my heart. I'm telling you, the church is about to really go into a place of persecution she's never known. What's happening is the laws of the land are being shaped in favor of the godless. And one day, as a church, we will know what persecution is really about. But the Lord also keeps putting a verse in my heart, and that verse is, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And God keeps putting in my heart that in the midst of it all, there's going to be a great harvest. Because where sin did abound, I'm telling you, people are just get more and more hungry for the grace of God. And God wants to invest in our hearts, and he wants to invest in our lives for the coming times. I'm telling you, listen, you think our nation is dark and depraved and wicked now, and I say this out of love. If Jesus don't come back, our minds can't even conceive where we're going to be in 10 years from now. The absolute godlessness. I'm telling you, it's going to be bold. I always go back to Joshua 1:8. He said, Joshua, be courageous and let not the book of the law depart out of your heart. And I'm telling you, there's coming a day where it's going to take courage to stand upon our biblical principles and values. When they start throwing pastors in jail, it's going to start taking courage. When Christians start losing their jobs and their careers start going down the drain because of their stand for biblical truth, it's going to take courage. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people who are not prepared that are going to start making excuses and start tolerating and start making up all these reasons why we should start compromising, you know, compromising. But I'm telling you, there will be a remnant that will say, I'm not going to compromise my biblical values. And when they stand upon his word, it's going to cost them. You know, and even we think we're being persecuted now. We haven't even seen persecution. But at the same time, I know in my heart there's a revival coming. Because people are going to be so hungry. And And that's why he's investing in our storehouses now. That's why we're being lovingly crushed now for the coming times. Our hearts and our house is going to be a storehouse of grace. And it doesn't matter what messes and what addictions and what bondages come through our door. There will be a power here that can heal and transform lives. Amen. Now, I want to end with this thought. If Joseph was going to have an abundant storehouse to pour out in the earth, there was one word that had to be found in Joseph's life. Listen, Joseph understood, I only got 7 years to prepare. And after these 7 years are gone, the worst famine in the history of the world is going to hit the earth, and it's going to last 7 years. But God has given me 7 years of plenty to prepare. And there's one word that lived in Joseph's heart those 7 years, and that one word is this, diligence. Joseph knew in his 7 years he had to be diligent. He knew the tragic consequences if he wasn't diligent. He knew what it was going to cost. And in his heart, he knew he had to be diligent. And beloved, I want to encourage each of us to be diligent in our walk with God. To be very intentional in our walk with God. Listen, life is so short. Let's be diligent in our love for God. Let's be diligent in our heart to serve God. Let's be diligent to obey God. Let's be diligent to walk with God. Let's be diligent. You know, I know this flesh that we're robed in gets tired, and I know we fight discouragement. I know we have an enemy who comes, and he comes, and we're in a warfare with the enemy. But I want to tell you, I also know there's a throne of grace that we can go to. And his grace is stronger than my tiredness. His grace is stronger than my discouragement. His grace is stronger than the enemy who battles with me. And he so freely gives us the invitation. You need grace, you need help, you need strength. Everything you have is at my throne. Come. And I'm telling you, we can live in diligence. We can be a people who love him with a diligent heart, who obey him with a diligent heart, who seek him with a diligent heart. We can. And I just want to encourage each of us. You know, let's see the times. Let's not be blinded by the times. Let's see the times and let's undergird our heart and walk with him in a diligence. Beloved, I feel something in my heart telling God's people, protect your heart from complacency. Protect your heart from apathy. Protect your heart from indifference. Because I'm telling you, the presence of God in our life is too real. Communion with the Holy Spirit is too real. When we open this book, the life that is in this word is too real to allow apathy in our hearts. It's too real. Intimacy with God that he gives us so freely when we seek him, it's too real to be a complacent. And I feel like the Lord is saying, be diligent. You can be diligent. Not in your strength, but in my strength. Be diligent. Amen. I want to end with a precious promise from the Word of God. Go with me to Proverbs 13. Proverbs chapter 13. Look with me at verse 4. It says, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing. But it says, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. The soul of the diligent shall be made fat. And I asked the Lord, God, what does that mean to my life? The soul of the diligent shall be made fat. And here's what he said. A diligent heart will experience its God-given desires in abundance. Capture that. God's desires, the ones that he puts in our heart, the one that he plants in our heart. God is saying a diligent heart, a diligent spirit will experience those God-given desires in abundance. And we can be diligent. Not in our strength. Thank God not in our strength. Thank God we have a throne of grace that we can go to. Amen. Now, I don't want to give an altar call this morning. I'm not going to give an altar call this morning. But there is a prayer that is in my heart. And I do want to pray for us this morning. And that we can actually find the prayer that's in my heart in the Word of God. Go with me. We're already in Proverbs. Go with me to Proverbs 4. Verse 23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And to me, here's what this verse is saying. The affections of your heart will determine your direction in life. The affections of your heart will determine the direction of your life. It will determine the paths that you walk down in life. And here the Lord is saying, guard your heart. In other words, God says in His Word, I'll give you a new heart, but you have to guard it. And beloved, that's just something that I want to pray, that God would help us guard our heart. In other words, I want to pray, God, help us not lose the value of what You're doing in our heart. Beloved, our hearts are storehouses. And God is investing, and He's investing, and He's investing. And we need to treasure what He's doing in our life. And we need to guard it. You know, I don't want to be like that woman in Luke 15 who one day recognized she lost her coin. Listen, it was her fault she lost the coin. She let that coin slip through her fingers and she lost it. She lost the value of something. You know, you find three stories in that chapter. The story of the prodigal, the story of the lost sheep, and the story of the woman who lost her coin. And if you look at it, the story of the prodigal represents the Father. The story of the good shepherd represents Christ. But the story of the woman who lost the coin represents the church. And she let that coin slip through her fingers. She let the value slip through her fingers. And there's just something in my heart. It says, God, by the grace of God, what You're doing in my life, help me not never let the value slip through my fingers. Help me treasure it. Help me not be an Esau and trade it for some worldly temporal gratification. What You're doing in my life, let it truly be the treasure of my heart, because my heart is Your greatest treasure. Help me to value it. Amen.